Please accept my apologies that Steve Ray's audio track is less than ideal. Please do not adjust your device. Please also be thankful that Mr. Giovanni does most of the speaking. "They don't boo nobodies" is a famous quote from Reggie Jackson, and he would know. He was not a nobody, and he got booed. Everybody wanted him on their team, but did not want their team to have to play him. That was a quote that came to mind when the national media covered a caucus speech by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that was a precursor for the January 29th call for the March 4th by-election in Durham Riding, where this episode's guest is the new and last MP prior to redistribution. In that speech, Mr. Trudeau spoke of Robert Rock, the Scugog councillor who first wanted to run as a Conservative, but ended up representing the red and white of the Liberal Party, and he attacked Jamil Giovanni, the candidate that Pierre Poilievre's Conservative Party of Canada was presenting for Durham to consider as the replacement for Aaron O'Toole, the former leader of that same party who retired from federal politics last year. Most controversially, the Prime Minister referred to Mr. Giovanni as a twofer, which led to lots of speculation about whether he really meant an ideologue and an insider or something else. We will explore that and more on today's episode of Exit 425. My name is Steve Ray. Jamil Giovanni, thank you for joining me at Exit 425. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. You are the first elected provincial or federal representative for Exit 425 to speak on Exit 425. And I kind of wish I had a plaque for you or something.
Well, it's very good to chat with you, Steve. And, you know, I appreciate the work you do to engage our local politics and our local issues in Clarington and in Durham region broadly. So it's great to chat with you.
Why you and why now? Who are you and what are you personally bringing to the table as our new MP? You share your credentials, which is fully understandable. I would share them too. I love how you gush about your mom. You unabashedly also share about your cancer story, yay, and how important your faith is to you. And does anyone see this as a problem?
Well, it's just the truth of who I am, whether someone sees it as a problem or not, not particularly my concern. My concern is to take the skills and experiences I've accumulated over my career and my life so far and to be a fighter for Durham. I think there are a lot of people in our community who feel like their voice isn't being heard right now, whether that's because of the way the economy has become completely unaffordable for a lot of people, or it's because they feel like their values are not being reflected in decisions that are being made that affect them and their families. So I think that I have been, through my life experiences, as you mentioned, as a cancer survivor, raised by a single mother, but also my professional experiences, like, you know, being trained as a lawyer, working in the media, I think I've got the right skills and the right background to represent people right now and to be that fighter and be that voice for people who feel like they're not being heard. So I think this is a good time for someone like me to enter politics. I think that the result we had in the by-election on March 4th backs that up. I think a lot of people hope that I can represent them and represent them well. And now it's on me to get the job done and work hard every day to earn the trust and confidence of our community.
How cool was it for the man who, as a 15-ish-year-old boy, failed his first attempt at the Ontario literacy test when you walked into the House of Commons knowing that you will be given your seat there very soon? I walked in there and thought it was pretty amazing, and I wasn't even elected.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool moment. If you told me when I was 15 and failing the literacy test and, you know, my mom was stressing out every day about whether I was going to finish high school, that I would one day be able to stand in the House of Commons, I would have asked you, what is the House of Commons? I mean, politics was not on my radar at all growing up. So it is, it's a blessing and an honor to be able to participate in our democracy, but especially knowing that I, like many others, could have fallen through the cracks and sort of been one of those people whose struggles and challenges overwhelm them and unable to live up to my potential. So I'm grateful for the chance to be here. And I know that every day, you know, when I walk into the House of Commons for the first time, when I, sit in meetings, when I have the chance to speak to our community here, it's not lost on me, that this is a rare moment and a rare opportunity to make sure that the experiences of people who don't always get to these places are accounted for. and that we're heard, and that, you know, I think that's what makes politics special. You know, we have a lot of grievances about the way politics works. Sometimes we have a lot of frustrations with the current government. Certainly, you know, I'm not shy about airing my frustrations with the current government, but I also think we sometimes have to sit back and say, it's pretty cool that we live in a country where, you know, this son of an African immigrant raised by a single mother, the grandson of a Toronto public school custodian, someone who struggled in school and had to figure out how to make a life for himself, is able to be an MP. I don't know how many countries have people who get to tell those stories, and I'm certainly grateful for it. And I think that, you know, the men and women who built this country over generations built something special. And I come into the job knowing that, you know, part of my responsibility is to protect and maintain and preserve the good things about Canada, because there are a lot of really good things about this country.
You are a member of Parliament for Durham and a member of the Conservative Party of Canada caucus. Why did you run as a Conservative?
Well, for me, the Conservative Party best represents my values. You know, our leader, Pierre Poilievre, will often say things like, you know, we stand for faith, family, and freedom. Those are things I believe in. And those are things that I think have made Canada the special country that it is over time. So I think the Conservative Party is the right political party for people who hold my values. I also think that, you know, parties are different depending on who the leader is. And right now with Pierre Poilievre, I think we have a leader who wants to get things done for Canadians, who has seen the, you know, failures, I would say, of the last 8 years under the Trudeau Liberals, and really wants to stand up for working class and middle class families. You know, when I knock on doors, you know, in Clarington and Oshawa and Scugog, often I'll meet people who feel let down by past Conservative governments. You know, historically, Conservatives have not always been the party for the working class and the middle class. But I think under Pierre Poilievre, that's what we've become. And that makes me happy because my roots are in the working class. My roots are in people who have had to work hard for everything that they've got. And that's who I want to represent as a politician. And I think the Conservative Party today is the party for that voice. We're seeing that play out, you know, right now in real time. Earlier this week, the carbon tax went up. You know, it's a regressive tax. It punishes hardworking people because it increases the cost of living. It increases the cost of buying groceries. It increases the cost of filling your gas tank, heating your home. Those are things that hit the working class and the middle class particularly hard. And we're the only party who's standing up against the carbon tax right now. I think that's a big part of why we won the Durham by-election by such a large margin, is that people believe that we have their best interests in mind. And I don't take that trust lightly. You know, I think that that's a big part of our responsibility as Conservatives right now, is to make sure we, you know, honor that trust people have put into us. And as we prepare for the general election, where, you know, we may see a change in government, I really believe Pierre Poilievre is going to be the next Prime Minister of Canada. That is a mandate that we hold, to be the party to represent the hardworking family. And I'm honored and excited by that. You know, that's kind of what being interested in politics is about for me. And I'm grateful that we've got a party that is aligned on those values.
You mentioned something that you heard at the door as you canvassed, and you've been working very hard since the time that you were named the CPC candidate for Durham. You spent a lot of time knocking on doors. What were some of the other things that you heard as you canvassed the doors of Durham?
Yeah, I knocked on over 115,000 doors from September to March. And it was the biggest use of my time, and it's something I prioritized every day, because I think that's what it's about. You know, you got to look people in the eye, answer their questions, be accountable to everybody, including people who are too busy to, you know, maybe show up to an event, but maybe they're able to answer the door in between dinner and hockey practice, right? And I think that's a really important part of politics, is being on the ground and being accessible to people. So, yeah, we heard a lot. Most concerns were related to affordability. lot of people frustrated about the cost of living. I met a lot of people. I'm 36 years old. I met a lot of people around my age who were frustrated with the housing market. They're still living with their parents or they're renting. They want to own a home. They want to start a family. And the housing market was holding them back. So it was a lot of personal conversations like that, where you could really feel what people are going through. And it was a privilege to be able to learn directly from people and to hear them out and to try to develop a sense of what they're looking for from their representatives, not just, you know, federally, but also what their concerns are generally. You know, people, I think my job is to care about what the people of Durham care about. And you can't really know what they care about until you're looking them in the eye and having that conversation. So it was very important. Another issue that came up a lot was just hearing about the experiences of young people generally, you know, whether they be public school students, college and university students, recent graduates. You hear a lot about, you know, what they see as the future. And a lot of them weren't feeling very optimistic about what jobs might be available to them as they get older, how they're going to establish their careers. You know, we're fortunate here in Durham to have two post-secondary schools. So we have a lot of students here. And we also have a lot of people who move here to raise their kids and send them to public school. And, you know, I want kids to grow up here and feel optimistic, right? I want them to feel like this is a great place. There's going to be a job for me if I work hard and I follow the rules and I do what I'm asked to do, that there's a deal in place that, you know, you do your part and you get rewarded at the end. And right now, a lot of young people don't feel that way. So hearing their stories was really powerful also. And just knowing that, you know, we've got a lot of people that we need to take care of, a lot of people who are doing everything right. And it's up to, you know, society, it's up to the existing generation to make sure that the opportunities are there for them. So I carry all those experiences, all those interactions, all those stories with me into the job. And I don't want to just be a politician who comes and knocks on your door when there's a vote happening. You know, on Saturday, I'm going to go door knocking again. It's something that's, in my view, a big part of this job, not just when there's an election happening, but even in between elections, because I really want people to feel like I'm accountable to them. And if you have a problem, if you need an answer to something, you know where to find me. And if you didn't catch me in my office, you might catch me at your front door, but you're going to find me somewhere. And I just, to me, that's what, you know, democracy is. And that's what being a politician that's working hard for the people, that's what it looks like.
What are your connections to Durham riding? There was a lot made of this during the campaign. So just maybe outline how you're connected to Durham.
Yeah. Well, the prime minister certainly had a bit to say about that. And one thing I've, you know, kind of had to get used to is that when you're in politics, people are just going to say things about you and you got to not take it, you know, personally and not get offended, even if it's untrue. So, you know, in terms of Durham, I moved here at the beginning of 2020. Before that, I was a cancer patient at North York General Hospital. So moving to Durham was kind of a reset in my life. And I came here because a mentor of mine in the legal profession was the chancellor at Ontario Tech University. And when I was sick, I would call him a lot and we would talk all the time. And he would tell me, oh, you know, having a good time here in Oshawa. So I just had Oshawa in my head as like a place that I wanted to start the next chapter of my life. And so I moved to Oshawa. I'm a renter, so I moved around a little bit to different parts of Durham region. And I've been very happy here. I really love this place. I had a national radio show, which I actually recorded out of my apartment in Oshawa. I turned my apartment into a home studio during the pandemic years, which is pretty cool. You probably know something about turning your house into a studio, you know, all the soundproofing and you got to make sure there's no echoes and all that kind of stuff. But it was really fun to do the show in Oshawa because, you know, I could bring in people like Aaron O'Toole and we did an interview. I could bring in some of the union workers at the GM plant and do interviews with them. So it was pretty cool. And my sister actually wound up moving to Whitby during that time also. So she's also in Durham region with her husband and their dog. And I mean, I've been here for years and I love it here. When the prime minister tried to cast some doubt on that, I thought it was pretty funny because, you know, they couldn't run on their record. So they had to try to, you know, kind of poke holes in me. But, I think the people of Durham you know, knew. I had roots here. I have relationships here. And I think that played out in the election. You know, we won by a very big margin because people knew that I was here for them. And they had confidence in me that I would represent them well and that I would do a good job. And when they're stuck in traffic on Highway 2, I've been in that traffic. When they're, when they're worried about not enough houses being built here, I have those worries. When they're concerned about the cost of rent and going up, I pay that same rent, right? So I know what life is like here, and I think that's an important part of the job. So. But yeah, when the prime minister said that, I thought, I mean, it was not the most controversial of the things he said about me, but it was funny to hear him try to spin that narrative.
Unknown to most, a great deal of an MP's work is focused on local issues like local residents' immigration issues. Describe the unique Durham issues that you intend to work to improve. We all want better affordability and more and less expensive housing, as well as an end to inflation and maybe some backtracking on that, or deflation on some of the prices that were inflated over the past 2 years. What are you aware of that is needing the impact of your influence right here in Durham?
Yeah, well, you're certainly right to touch on some of those bigger picture economic issues. I think, you know, inflation, cost of living, housing supply, those are all very important. We do hear a lot of concerns from people in the community about crime also. So that's something that we're very cognizant of. The role of the federal government is to create policies that have a tremendous amount of influence on the criminal justice system, including things like bail. So in terms of keeping our community safe, I think that's a really important role of the federal MP, and to have those good relationships with, you know, Durham Regional Police, city councilors, our provincial representatives also, so that we can make sure we have, the right policies in place to keep people safe on the ground. The other local issue, of course, is nuclear. We have over 3,000 people employed at the Darlington nuclear facility. Darlington is doing some incredible innovative stuff in terms of the small modular nuclear reactors, also medical isotopes that are being created there that are going to help people with certain cancer treatments, which, you know, I know, you know, we both have a soft spot for some of those innovations and those treatments. So I think that's a big part of my job, too, is to do my part to grow the nuclear industry. The cool thing we have here in Durham, too, is that because we have the two post-secondaries, we also have the ability to do research and also to help train young people for the jobs of the future in nuclear. And one of the roles of the federal government is to, spend money on research. A lot of the money that goes to post-secondaries for research funds come from the federal government. And I'd like to be an advocate for making sure that that research is being done in a way that benefits our local economy as much as possible. So that's another thing that I think I can do to be very helpful to us locally. And then, of course, you know, just generally, you know, you mentioned some of the specific things around individual taxes, immigration issues, visas, passports. A lot of these things are part of what a strong constituency office does for a community. And, we're in the process of getting our constituency office going right now. And we're hiring staff who we believe are going to be great public servants. They're going to do a good job for Durham. When people have concerns about immigration, taxes, whatever it may be, we're going to have a team here that can answer those questions. And I'm really excited about that part of the job because, it is very important. And it is sort of the thing where someone may spend 4 years not, needing a government office, but the one time you need them to be there. You need them to be answering the phone. You need them to be responsive. So it is a very important part of the job is that we're there for people whenever they need it. That's kind of how I see, fitting in locally, but also knowing that we've got to be agile and nimble. Things are going to change as we go. The needs people have will change, and we've got to be plugged in enough to know what people need so we can be there for them.
You are pretty good with video, as we saw in response to the Prime Minister's rant and even more recently last week. Is this something we can expect to continue throughout your term? We don't have a lot of media here in Clarington. At least there is some powerful radio in North Durham with my friend Dan Pollard and in North Oshawa, but very little in Clarington. We also know that the media doesn't always report quite as we would like it to.
Yes, I'm going to try my best to continue using social media, to communicate directly with our community. I think it's a very important part of the job is that people get to hear from their MP directly. And, you know, Pierre Polyev does such an excellent job at it, too. He really sets the standard for, you know, using social media to connect with people. And that's what we want to do also. I like video as a way to respond to things and to give commentary also, because I think it's important for people to see me. You know, if you're reading words on your phone, you might not always get a chance to kind of see the emotion behind what's being said. And I think that's a really important part of getting to know an MP is to, you know, see us, see how we talk, see what we look like, you know, make sure, look us in the eye when you can, you know. My background is in radio, so I'm very grateful that we've got some local radio powerhouses in Durham region. And I think that radio is a great medium to communicate with people as well. So yeah, as much as we can, you know, that's why I love the fact that you do this podcast, because I just think it's really important for us to have these local touch points where if people want to know what's happening in their community, they've got a local resource that they can go to.
And again, this is why I do the podcast and why I invited politicians regularly into my classroom, even when my colleagues wouldn't, just so that it would humanize the politicians and so that students and so that the people who watch and listen to this podcast, and I know that there will be a lot of interest in this particular episode, that they realize that you are human and perhaps it might make it easier for them to call or email or somehow get in touch with you, knowing that you aren't just a faceless kind of person that's represented in the newspaper or the news media. And so I appreciate you doing this, and I appreciate that that's one of the reasons that you, are big on social media.
Yeah.
Now that brings me to a question, and quite frankly, as I alluded to earlier with the presentation of the plaque idea, my frustration in trying to build that engagement in this area and not being able to get particularly conservative people onto the podcast. So why the apparent muting of conservatives during elections and the muting of our MPP during elections and beyond? Is it related? Is it due to a concern that something is in jeopardy or that the whole election was in the bag already? So why bother? An absolute pit bull as our MPP and a Yale-trained MP candidate at the time. Why few debates or one-on-ones?
Yeah, well, I can't speak for any other politicians, regardless of what party they belong to. So I can just speak for myself. You know, when you're in a campaign period, like any other job, you've got a million things and your job is to prioritize your time. And from my point of view, the timing of things is very key. So I went into the election saying my goal is to knock on every door in our riding at least once. We did it multiple times in most parts of Durham. And that was my objective. And you have sometimes that singular view where you say, okay, this is my goal. I want to be able to talk to as many voters as possible. And that's what I'm going to focus on. So that was my mentality. And, I think that was the right strategy in terms of getting people to know me. I think a lot of people got to know me by that every single day being at the door, being on the ground. So that was my focus. And I don't know if other people do, you know, have the same strategy. I'm not going to comment on anyone else, but I will just say for myself, that was my goal. And I think that the, you know, election results sort of bear the fruit of that effort. So everyone has to make different decisions for every campaign. And the timing of when something like a debate happens or an interview happens, I think is pretty important. For me, myself, I'm certainly no stranger to sharing my perspective on things and certainly happy to talk with people all the time. But I also think that, you know, being accountable and available to voters as much as possible is my overwhelming priority in this job. So I have to weigh that with everything else. And I make my decisions based on that. But you know, I'm here and I'm very happy to do this interview because at this point in the job, it's now about getting established and sharing my vision with people outside of the context of the campaign. And what I love about being able to chat with you right now is I don't have to talk about Trudeau for 30 minutes. We can talk about local issues. We can talk about other things that are going on. And that's also an important part of what an MP has to do. So in my view, I guess it's just about balance. And that's what I'm trying to achieve and make sure that I make time for things when I think they're most important.
Well, your timing with that remark was interesting because now we're going to go back to the caucus rant by the Prime Minister when he referred to you as a twofer. And I'm going to have like two questions built into this, and I'll pause after the first one to give you a chance to respond to that. So he referred to you as a twofer in the sense that he tried to portray it an ideologue and an insider. Many thought that he was trying to suggest something else. I'm not sure what, and I think you kind of talked about that in your video response. Does that term not describe our prime minister, ideologue and insider?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I will say, in my experience, liberals are very good at accusing you of the thing that they're doing. And when he tried to use ideologue and insider as an insult toward me, I thought it was very telling because he is the son of a prime minister calling someone else an insider. You know, it's sort of it's like, I don't know how much more insider you can be than someone who literally grew up in parliament. But, you know, I'll leave that for other people to make their assessment. In terms of an ideologue, though, that was an interesting one because, you know, ideologue means different things to different people. I think he meant it, of course, as a negative. And I don't know what else you would call him in this case when you see massive majority of Canadians, we're talking 70%+ according to some polls, unhappy with the carbon tax, and yet he continues to increase it. That sounds like someone who is so blinded by ideology that he's not able to change course and do what the country wants. So if anyone is going to be an ideologue in that sort of negative sense, it seems to me that he might fit the bill. So it was an interesting set choice of words from the prime minister. And I think one of the mistakes he made in that caucus speech, in addition to using vague terminology like twofer, which, you know, some people interpret it as offensive. I don't know what his intentions were. And he didn't say on the record either what his intentions were. But what I would say is that he drew a lot of attention to our by-election. Not the smartest move when you're a prime minister that is so unpopular. You know, it's not normal for a prime minister to call out a by-election candidate in that way. And I think it was a strategic error and one that, frankly, Durham made him pay a price for. So maybe he learned something from it. We'll see when he does the next caucus speech, I guess.
Well, and it's rare for a caucus speech to be recorded by the media, too. So, you know, the fact that that was all happening, it wasn't coincidental.
Yeah.
And you've referred to this, my next question, a couple times in different ways. But what does an MP need to do to almost overemphasize that they are riding first? And sorry, electoral district first doesn't have the right ring to it. So, you know, what do you have to do to show that you're really riding first?
Well, I think part of our job is to make sure that we are connecting the national debate and national issues to our local community, that we can show how these big picture national conversations, how do they play out in the lives of our neighbors and our friends in Clarington and Oshawa and Scugog? And one example would be, you know, you think about the carbon tax. Well, what does it mean for us here? So during our campaign, we were very clear about pointing to the ways that the carbon tax affects people here. We gave the example of increasing the cost of construction, which would impact big projects like the Bowmanville Hospital redevelopment. We gave the example of increasing the cost of operating big colleges and universities like Durham College and Ontario Tech. We gave the example of a Durham-based construction companies saying that the carbon tax is making it more expensive to build houses. So we think that's a really big part of our job, is to make sure that we're connecting these big picture conversations about national issues to the local community here. How does it affect us here? How does it impact our life here, the growth of our community, the future of our community? The other thing that's very important is for us to bring the local issue to the national conversation. This is one reason why I'm so vocal about things like nuclear. Do I think nuclear is important for the country? Absolutely. But it is especially important for us because of the number of people in our community who depend on nuclear for work, to provide for their families. So when we go to the national conversation, I'm there saying, you know what? Nuclear is really important. And if you want to know what the future of nuclear looks like, come down to Durham, come to Darlington, see the technology being developed there. So we have to be connecting these conversations in both directions. That is what I think my job is. And that is how we're going to, one, improve the country overall, change the direction of the country from a direction right now that a lot of people are unhappy with, but also we're going to improve our local community, strengthen it, grow it, make sure there's jobs and opportunities, and make sure people are happy here and that the children who grow up here see a future for themselves here, not feeling like they have to leave to go somewhere else in order to live up to their potential.
Jamil, thank you for meeting me at Exit 425 today. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The best way to get in touch with us right now is over at our email address, which is jamil.javani@parl.gc.ca. That email address, it goes directly to our office. We read every single email that goes there, and we will do our best to be as helpful as possible to anyone who gets in touch with us. We also have an office that will be opening up in Durham soon. Right now, we're just getting that going. We just got our office in Ottawa going also. So be a little patient with us as we get the wheels moving. But we are getting up and running as quickly as possible. And that email address will go directly to our team. I'll just repeat it so people can get that down. It's jamil.javani@parl.gc.ca.
And we'll certainly have that overlaid on video and included with any kind of write-up for the podcast. And that's awesome. Tough question here. Will you return to Exit 425?
Absolutely. I look forward to it, Steve. And as I said, we need these sorts of podcasts. We need this sorts of media. I think you're doing a great service to our community here, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. And thank you for all who are listening to this episode of Exit 425 or watching. Please like and subscribe on whatever platform you use. Our mission is to provide substantial information and education that goes where you want, physically and topically, because it's where we live. Exit 425 is a production of Studio 38 Audio, copyright 2024. My name is Steve Ray. If you have any questions or would like more information about Exit 425, join our Exit 425 Facebook group, like the Facebook page, check out Instagram, Medium, X, and TikTok, or email me at exit425401@gmail.com. If you need to brush up on civics or just any current topic like understanding the carbon tax, check out Explain It Like I'm 7 page on Facebook as well. Exit 425, it's where we live.